Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Good evening, good evening. It's a joy to be with all of you, especially on this rainy, rainy day, this rainy afternoon. When Ray invited me to come speak, I got really excited because I'd actually never been to an Adore event. Actually, it's been probably years since I was in high school when they had one at St. Patrick's, but ones that were going in the parish I haven't been to yet, so I was really excited. I was going to have a picture of my cute dog put on there, but I didn't get to him in time because I just got a dog last week, and his name is Cruz. And C-R-U-Z, and it's Spanish for cross. And already a weekend, this little booger has been a cross to me. And the other night, actually, I was lying on my couch, going to sleep, and I fell asleep on my couch in my sitting room, and he was there with me. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, he starts squirming. He goes from the foot to my head, to my foot, to my head, and I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, just lay down. And all of a sudden, he starts whining. I'm like, oh, gosh, be quiet. I just want to sleep. He goes, and jumps on the floor. And then it's dark, and all you hear is water trickling. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I get up, and I go over there, and I start cleaning up the mess. I got the paper towels and everything. And then what does he want to do? He wants to start coming lick. I'm like, ah, dude, get out the way. I'm like, push him out the way. I'm like, I even slapped him. I felt really bad about it. Don't call the people on me to, you know, whatever, the Humane Society. And so, but I realized as I was cleaning, as I hit him, I thought about this story. And when I was in 2014, when I was in seminary, I was in first theology, which meant I had about 3 more years. And so I knew that I was getting pretty serious about this priestly thing, and this opportunity came up for me to go to Costa Rica and study Spanish. And so I took that opportunity so that when I became a priest, I'd be able to celebrate Mass in Spanish, hopefully one day be able to preach in Spanish. I got to work on my Espanol. And I saw the opportunity, so I took it. So I go down there, and I stay with this beautiful family. I had a 2-year-old and a 9-year-old, and the mother and father were awesome people, very humble. And they had a little 2-year-old named Esteban, and he was the cutest thing ever, right? And there was one night where we came home after Mass. Mass was in the evening, and they were cooking dinner. And usually that was like prime time for me and this other seminarian who was there staying with them to practice our Spanish. They'd be cooking, right? We'd be talking about the day, what happened. And then during dinner, we'd talk with them. But I'll never forget, we were in the kitchen, a small little kitchen, and we're talking. About 3-5 minutes go by. Now, this little kid, Esteban, was cute, but he was a terror of demons, okay? This guy caused trouble like nobody's business. And so 3-5 minutes go by, and all of a sudden, the dad's like, he's about the stove. He looks up and goes, ¿Dónde está Esteban? At that moment, we all like look at each other. There's like that pause, and then we bolt out the kitchen looking for Esteban because he's up to some trouble. We know it. So we're looking all around the house, and we can't find this little guy. And all of a sudden, you hear the dad go, ah, no. And we all turn and look, and Esteban is behind the couch. And he had made a mess. Yeah. But he didn't just make a mess here. He was taking it and was becoming Picasso with it. All over the couch, all over the curtains. And I'm like, back away from the scene, you know? I have nothing to do with this. So me and the seminarian are standing right here, we're like witnessing this moment, right? It's like going by just slowly. But what was so interesting was this, is that the dad, oh no. But then he went over to little Esteban, picked him up without saying a word, brought him upstairs, the mom followed, she started cleaning him up. The dad comes down, still doesn't say a word, and begins to quietly clean up the mess. Cleans it all up, goes to the kitchen, washes his hands, and resumes cooking like nothing had happened. And I'm standing there looking at the seminarian, I'm like, dude, you just see that? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you can be journaling about that tomorrow? He's like, yeah, dude, that was intense. And so there was such a beautiful moment because, especially in the Advent season, right? We celebrate when Christ comes down into the mess of humanity. And he comes in the quiet and the stillness of the night. And there was something so profound about that because he didn't say a word, and it was like the Father's love just being portrayed and going by us like a film. And you know, I think we find ourselves in a mess in life, and we also see people in a mess in the scriptures. And there's one guy who always finds himself in the mess, and that's Peter. And I like to go to a story about when Peter gets in a big, big mess. And it's when he denies Jesus. And so, you know the story. They come and arrest him in the garden. They bring him to put him on trial. And so we hear this. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. As this disciple was known to the high priest, he entered the court of the high priest along with Jesus, while Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter in. The maid who kept the door said to Peter, "Are you not also one of this man's disciples?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. And as he stood there, they said to him, "Are you not also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a kinsman of the man whose ear Peter had cut off in the garden, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it. And at once, the cock crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was early in the morning. Peter's in a big mess. But see, what we hear from Luke, too, is that after he had denied Jesus, and after the cock crowed, that it said that Jesus looked at Peter. And it was that look that made Peter run and weep bitterly. Peter's in a big mess. You see, he hasn't just messed himself, but with three times denying Jesus at the most, when he needed him the most, he's smearing it, right? That's not the end of the story, though. Because in John 21, we hear the end of the story. I wish I had a nice little stand around here. That's okay. So what happens? Jesus rises from the dead. And guess what they do? They go fishing. Good job, guys. And they're fishing all night long. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not really a big fisherman. But if I go out fishing, I don't catch anything for 30 minutes, I'm heading back in. They're all night long. They caught nothing. And this is what John says. He says, just as the day was breaking, it's morning. But remember, it was morning when he denied Jesus too. And remember that rooster that crowed? You ever wonder why a rooster crowed? I mean, really. Jesus is like, "All right, dude, you're going to deny Jesus, right?" Or Jesus is like, "You're going to deny me, and then this rooster is going to crow." And you're like, "What? What is that about?" What's interesting is that every morning when Peter would wake up, he'd hear a rooster crow. And every morning he would be brought back to that one not so famous morning when he denied Jesus three times. And so this ugly, messy time, this most shameful moment of Peter, his most shameful time when he denied Jesus three times at the time when he needed him the most, he'd be reminded of that every single day. So this morning also. And so we hear John tell us, just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And so Jesus is like, hey guys, you been catching anything? They're like, nope. He said, try the other side. And they bring in a load of fish, right? And it causes John to say, it is the Lord. And what's Peter's response? He puts on his garment and jumps into the sea, it says. He sprang into the sea to go meet Jesus. John continues. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you have caught. Simon Peter gets the net, brings it to him. He says, let's have breakfast. And then Jesus has this moment, a profound, profound moment. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And moments later, he would say, follow me. I can imagine that morning, all night laboring. Peter's getting frustrated. He's a fisherman. He knows what he's supposed to be doing, right? He's a professional. They caught nothing. The morning dawns, and then the cock crows. The rooster crows in that morning. He's frustrated, and that's just one more thing to bring him down. That's one more thing. That brings him back to that shameful moment. That moment he wants to forget, but he will never forget it. And you see, what happens is Jesus, because he's a good and merciful God, he sits on the beach, and guess what's waiting for him? Waiting for Peter. A charcoal fire. The very thing he was standing next to when he denied Jesus. But see, the beauty of it, the beauty of this moment is that Peter's greatest moment of mess, his most shameful moment of his life, the moment he wishes to forget and put behind him, but he will never forget. This now, this moment becomes the greatest moment of mercy for him. And see, this is what Jesus does. When we come and make a mess of our lives, he invites us to also make it the greatest moment of mercy to show us. You know, when I watched that little boy make that mess, I thought about my own life and the way I make a bunch of messes. And I saw that father, the love of the father, come down, get on his hands and knees, and clean up the mess. And then when we hear something like this, we see the love of God shown forth in a powerful way. So the question tonight is, what's your rooster? What's that moment that you can't forget? What's that moment of mess that always haunts you? What's that sin that you think just can't be forgiven? What's your moment of mess? The question is, well, tonight, will you let it be a moment of mercy? In just a few moments, we're going to have the opportunity to have our Lord placed upon the altar. And what's so beautiful about adoration is that we get to stare at the Eucharistic face of Christ. We get to adore the face of the Savior. The same face that Mary contemplated on that most holy and solemn night we call Christmas. It's the same face that was beaten and bruised after being put under trial, after being arrested. The same face that Peter looked at in his biggest moment of mess. And you see, tonight, were gathered as a bunch of little Estebans. Huh? Maybe some of us have made big messes, smearing it all over the place. Maybe some of us just made a little mess. But we see we come here as little Estebans, little children, and we're going to look at the face of God. And see, this moment is also like a moment of Peter's moment, where Jesus looked at him. And he looked at him, and it caused him to realize that he failed. The first pope failed Jesus. And so we're going to look at Jesus, and the question becomes, are we going to, within our hearts, weep? Because we see that we've messed up. And then the next question is, what's our response? Because when we say, it is the Lord, do we jump into the spring, the ocean, the sea of his mercy, like Peter did? Do we put on our baptismal garment that's been stained, like Peter did before jumping into the sea, and we're going to let the blood of Christ make it white again? You know, the face of Christ is something that is so beautiful, yet was torn apart. But you see, Peter didn't see the beautiful face of Christ. He saw the beaten one. And that's what moved his heart. And he sprang into the sea. And you see, tonight, there's going to be a bunch of campfires, charcoal fires set up. The charcoal fire of confession. Jesus is waiting by it. He's waiting for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. He's waiting for me. He's going to wait there silently, patiently in the person of the priest. And he's calling you to come forward to be reminded of those moments of mess. And guess what? You're going to have to speak those moments of mess again. You're going to have to recall them again. You're going to say them in front of a priest. But they're going to be consumed by the fire of God's mercy and love. The charcoal fire is waiting. And you see, this is what recalculating means. You see, in order to recalculate, guess what we first have to do? We have to first recognize that we made the wrong turn. That we're in a moment of mess. And then the next moment, the next thing that we do is say, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to get out of the wrong turn? How are we going to get out of the mess? You see, how we get out of the mess through mercy. Because the face of mercy will be looking at us tonight, both in the Eucharist and in the face of the priest. And you're going to hear the words, I absolve you of your sins. Consumed in the fire of God's love and mercy. So, what's your rooster? What's the moment that haunts you? Big moments, little moments. Will you let it be the greatest moment of mercy in your life? That's what Jesus is asking tonight. So what is recalculating about? Recognize we made a wrong turn. To recognize is saying, what are we going to do about it? But then guess how the story ends with Peter and Jesus' conversation? What does he say? And after this, he said to him, follow me. You see, the answer, the initiative, is that after we make our moment of mess, the greatest moment of mercy that Christ is going to show to us, we got to follow Jesus more closely than we ever have before. And that's how we know, my brothers and sisters, that his mercy is at work. And that's how the world is going to see that God's mercy is real. It's alive. It's on fire. And that's how the world's going to see that us Christians, when we make a wrong turn, we get back on the right way through mercy. And so as we prepare our hearts for these moments, and maybe you find yourself here and you're not Catholic. Maybe you're not baptized, you're not Catholic, you just was told to come here, right? Somehow you came, you told yourself you weren't going to come. And you can't go to confession and just say, that's okay. Jesus is still going to look at you with a face of mercy. He's going to look at you with his eyes of mercy, because his eyes, he cannot look anywhere else besides with mercy and love at us. And so as Jesus is brought forward and as he processes around, let him ask you those questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And every time he asks you that question, respond, yes, Lord, I do love you. Yes, Lord, I do love you. Yes, Lord, I do love you. And then let him speak to your heart. And let him say to you, follow me. Because that's the path we want to be on. Because he's the God that takes our moments of mess and turns them into the greatest moments of mercy.